Thank you very much for the introduction. This is a joint work with András Mayer from Adolf Wörth GmbH and my colleagues from Ruhr University of Bochum, Jörg Schwenk, Marco Kampmann, and Maiko Jensen. So today I will present our work on breaking SAML, so we be where we want to be. So what's the problem of typical user in the internet? So a typical user on the internet has many accounts. He has some bank account, he has some email account or more email accounts, and some Facebook or Twitter account. This is bound to the problem that the user has many identities and he has to choose many, many passwords. So he has to he chooses then typically short passwords. He has to choose he chooses weak passwords, or he chooses the same password for more identities. The solution to this problem is a so-called single sign-on. So how does it work? A typical single sign-on scenario functions as follows. So the user wants to connect to some service provider. Let's call it Salesforce. So he visits the Salesforce website. And the Salesforce tells him, okay, you are not yet authenticated, so you should go to the identity provider to get my token, to get some token to authenticate. So he's redirected from the service provider. He goes to his identity provider. He logs in then once, and the identity provider issues a token. So this is a user Bob, and he is the role guest. And with this token, the user is redirected to the service provider, to the Salesforce provider, for example, and he can authenticate. So this solution brings many advantages. So the user has to log in only once. So he has to use only one password by the identity provider, and the identity provider can issue many, many tokens for many service providers, Salesforce, Google, and so on and so on. This is the advantage for the user. The advantage for the service provider is that the service provider does not need to have any password storage. He has to just validate the tokens and to authenticate the users. This technology is well known and can be implemented with many frameworks, many standards. For example, OpenID, OAuth, or Security Assertion Markup Language, SAML. So this paper is over SAML. We concentrate on this standard. So it's OSS standard, XML-based OSS standard. It's used in web services or browser-based single sign-on scenarios, mostly in enterprise applications. And the idea is to store the authentication statements in so-called assertions. Many of you would tell me, okay, XML security is not that interesting and not many users use it, but this is not that true because it's applied by many, many service providers like Salesforce, Google Apps, Shibboleth, so, and many American and German universities, Microsoft Office, or in the new ID cards from Germany or in Switzerland. So this technology is really, really important, and the security of this technology should be established. So how do we secure the connection? So many of you would probably say, okay, we just used TLS, SSL TLS. But SSL TLS is used only to ensure the transport level security. So the transport channel is, the messages are secured only during the transport. So if you would have an attacker who just gains a token, he could just edit the token and say, okay, I'm administrator, and forward it to the service provider. So we need some kind of message level security. We need directly apply the security to the messages. We need some kind of lock, which is applied by the identity provider, and the message can be securely transported to the service provider. The user cannot edit it. He cannot claim that he is administrator. And this is in SAML realized using XML security standards, concretely XML signatures. So we can authenticate the messages, and the authentication and integrity of the messages is secured. So during our work, we asked, are we secure? Are this technology secure? Is there any possibility for the attacker to claim he is administrator even if these assertions are signed? So During this talk, I will present the following. So in the first, I will present how do we secure the SAML messages with XML signature. Then I will present the XML signature wrapping attacks. I will present the practical evaluation and the penetration test library, which comes after the practical evaluation, and the countermeasures and conclusion. So first, SAML assertion. So SAML is an XML-based format. It's and it stores some identity information about the user. So for example, there is some assertion element. It stores the identity of the identity provider. So this was issued by secureidp.com. It was issued for BOP. And there are some conditions, for example, the timestamp, the validity the validation period of this SAML assertion, and the audience. So it should be used for service provider securesp.com. In this talk, I will use this notation. So for the simplicity, this is the assertion, this is the issuer of the assertion, and there is the subject, it's a BOP, and conditions, it's used for securesp. Good. So we have to secure somehow the assertion to provide integrity and authenticity of the message. So this is done typically in two typical ways. So we have to use some binding element. If you are familiar with browser-based single sign-on scenarios, this is called response element. So we use a binding element and we put the assertion inside. So afterwards, we put an ID attribute to the binding element, and we create a signature element and a reference with URI, the binding element. Afterwards, we create a digits value over this element, and we create a signature value over the signed info element. This way, the SAML assertion is secured. Another way is to secure only the assertion. So we put the assertion inside of the binding element. There is a subject, we put the ID attribute to the assertion element, and there is a signature, we create a signature element reference with URI the ID, create digits value over this assertion element, and create signature value over the signed info. Okay, so this this way we can secure the SAML assertions and their integrity and authenticity. So how is it processed on the service provider? So a typical user who uses, who validates SAML assertions uses it in two ways. So XML signature validation is pretty complicated. You have to use some canonicalization, you have to use some crypto public certificates and so on and so on. So for this purpose, there is used some XML signature library or XML security library. And afterwards, the user, which is claimed in the assertion have to be extracted. So typically this is done in two phases. So the developer first validates with some library the XML signature, and in the second step he just uses the binding assertion and subject, and he evaluates it. So there are some two modules. This the first module, signature verification, takes a look at ID based. Okay, the integrity is good, so it's, the message is valid. The message is forwarded to the assertion evaluation, and the developer then finds binding element, assertion element, and the subject, and claims, okay, this is the BOP, and he's authenticated. This naive processing can lead to so-called XML signature wrapping attacks. And this is the basic idea of the so-called XML signature wrapping attacks. So imagine there is an attacker who gains such a message, which is authenticated, and he wants to become somebody else. So first, he takes this assertion element, for example, and places it into a deeply nested element somewhere else. Afterwards, he changes the ID of the original binding element, for example, to the ID evil, and this makes the URI reference point to the binding element inside on the newly wrapped element. As long as this element was not changed, the integrity can be can be validated. However, the assertion evaluation library searches for binding, assertion, and subject, and this can be now changed by the attacker. So he can now claim he's an administrator. So if the assertion evaluation logic, the service provider gets such a message, he would process it as follows. The signature verification step would take a look. Okay, I will evaluate the signature signed in for a reference, and this is the URI and points to the binding element. And it shows, okay, this is valid. And the assertion evaluation shows, okay, there is a binding element, assertion, and subject, and this is the administrator. Okay, so we have some, this is the administrator. So we have some two views on the document which are not consistent, and the attacker can misuse it. So we have a pretty nice threat model. The attacker who can change arbitrary data in the assertion, he can change the subject, he can change the timestamp of the assertion, he can change the service provider who this belongs to. So the attacker can be everybody who can gain a signed assertion. This can be used, this can be done by registering by the identity provider. This can be done by message eavesdropping, or this can be done by Google hacking. So if you take a look at, if you search in Google for some similar assertions, you quickly find some forums where the users claim that this assertion is not valid, can you please validate it, and so on. And so I have some problems. Good. So this presents a single point of failure for single sign-on systems. In our work, in our research, we evaluated 14 SAML-based systems and frameworks, and we took a look at them. So how do they validate SAML assertions, if we can execute these attacks? And we evaluated, for example, two SOAP-based frameworks, Apache Access 2 and IBM Data Power XS40, and some HTTP binding frameworks like JOSO, which is used by Motorola, NEC, and Red Hat, and OIO SAML, which is used by Danish e-government. Then OneLogin, which provides a module for Joomla, WordPress, Sugar CRM, or Drupal applications. Then OpenSAML, which is used by Shibboleth Swiss ID, or the Salesforce and WSO2 cloud providers. So let's come to the practical evaluation. What did we do? So directly in Guangxi and the JOSO framework, the attack was straightforward. So the first presented message was a working attack against the Guangxi and JOSO implementation. So the Guangxi and JOSO implementation just took the binding element inside of the signature element and evaluated the assertion indirectly as a child of binding root element. In WSO2, it was a little different. So we needed to put the assertion, the wrapped assertion, directly inside of the binding element and change the ID. And this binding element, this wrapped binding element, was evaluated, and the newly placed assertion inside of the binding element, the root binding element, was executed. In Higgins, Apache Access 2 and IBM XS40, we needed to put the attacker assertion directly as a child element of the binding element. So this one was evaluated, this one was verified. In OpenAM and Salesforce, we had to create a new assertion inside of the binding element, put the signature element inside, and the assertion, the original assertion, was put inside of this signature element, and this way we could claim we are administrator, and this one assertion was verified. So we have some nice permutations, some nice attack permutations. Every time we have to put inside the assertion inside of some element, and we have to change the ID. It looks pretty easy, so maybe you can ask, are there some frameworks which implement some countermeasures, or is there always the straightforward? So this was not the case in OpenSAML. So OpenSAML implemented two countermeasures, and the first countermeasure was that they checked if the ID attribute of the signed element is the same as the ID attribute of the processed element. So we could not change, we could not use different IDs. And they also validate the XML schema. So we could not place the wrapped element inside of each element or test each element. And XML schema validation also does not allow to use two identical ID values. So this is the attack message on the OpenSAML C++ implementation. And now I show why did it work. So first, countermeasure was ID values checking. So there was checked if the ID of the process assertion is the same in the signed assertion. This was overcome by using two identical ID values. So we used two identical ID values for the wrapped and for the newly created attacker assertion. Okay, so this was the first countermeasure. The second countermeasure, XML schema validation. XML schema validation uses some extension points, so-called any elements. These any elements allow to put arbitrary content in the element defined as any element. So we use this any element. In this case, the SAML schema defines extensions element, which allows us to put arbitrary content into the extensions element. So we could put the wrapped content inside of the extensions element. Then there was also the problem with two identical ID attributes. This was solved. This was overcome by use of XML CSS library. So XML CSS allowed us to put arbitrary elements with two identical IDs. So the underlying library caused that this attack worked, even if the implementer wanted to execute some countermeasures. The last question is which element is verified and which one is executed. So this was pretty nice because the C++ implementation took the first element. So if there are two elements with the same ID attribute, the reference element verifies the first one. This was not the case in the OpenSAML Java implementation. There is also OpenSAML Java implementation. The OpenSAML Java implementation takes the last one. And so this this messenger looked as follows. So we need to put a newly created assertion element and inside of the object element of the signature, we could put the wrapped assertion. So if the reference searches for the URI, it finds the second one assertion. Good. Beyond signature wrapping, we found other attacks. They are called XML signature exclusion attacks. And how do they work? They are pretty simple. So we have to exclude the XML signature and you can claim your administrator. This looks pretty lame, but it could be executed against Apache, Axis2, JOSO, and OpenAttents. So even if there is no signature, the assertion was evaluated. So that's the result of our evaluation. So there were we evaluated 14 frameworks. 11 out of them were vulnerable to the XML signature wrapping attacks. 3 of them were vulnerable to signature exclusion attacks, and surprisingly, Microsoft SharePoint and SimpleSAML PHP were not vulnerable. So this allowed us to gain administrator rights at any point of time by enterprise application, by IBM X640, by Danish Air Government, by Joomla, WordPress, Sugar CRM, if they are included as modules, or by Shibboleth and Swiss ID. So we showed that there are many permutations, many attack permutations, many messages that could be created. It is not that easy to create all the attack messages. So we generated a penetration test library according to our results, and this penetration test library can execute different permutations, different attack messages with different permutation, different ID processing. It could execute signature exclusion attacks, and it can automatically extend XML schema extension points. We with this library we found further attacks on Salesforce interface, and we plan to include this library inside of our WS Attacker framework. Okay, so the general problem in the security processing of this kind of messages is that there are different views on from different modules on the message. So every time there are more modules which are processing the message and they have different views on the message, these attacks can occur. So this was the case in our SAML framework. So the message came in, the signature verification uses ID-based references. It says only it's valid or invalid, and the assertion evaluation takes some XPath and finds the binding element, assertion, and subject, and it returns, okay, this is the user. So that's the general problem, and we defined, we formally analyzed this in the paper and defined two countermeasures. I will discuss okay, so there are two countermeasures. The first one is strict filtering. So the signature, we propose that the signature validation module should always, as there is the incoming XML document, it should always forward only the signed content. So there is a binding element and the assertion to the assertion evaluation logic. So this way, the assertion evaluation logic could not evaluate data which are not signed. The second countermeasure is using some data tainting. So in order to show the assertion evaluation logic which data was validated, it is not only needed to show that the signature was valid or invalid. The signature verification logic should, for example, generate some random value. This random value should be shown by the to the assertion evaluation along with the signature validity. And afterwards, the signed element could be tainted with this random value, so the assertion evaluation could really simple check if the assertion was valid or invalid. So this is a really simple countermeasure. The details could you find you can find in our paper. So in conclusion, we found we showed that 12 out of 14 analyzed frameworks were affected to arbitrary XML signature wrapping attacks and XML signature exclusion attacks. We informed all the providers, and we particularly also worked with them and to evaluate their new implementations. The signature wrapping attacks are known since 2005, but are not in focus in the research community and not in focus in, of the developers. Many implementations are vulnerable. They are not easy to fix, as there are many libraries which are vulnerable. And if you are deploying XML signature in web services or SAML-based systems, be aware of these attacks. We believe that these attacks can be applied to other systems which use different views on different in different message processing modules. So, for example, JSON and so on. So that should be all. Thank you very much for your attention.
All right, let's thank Yuri. Thank Yuri for his talk. Are there any questions?
Hi, as you see in your last slide, the XML signature wrapping attacks have been known at least since 2005, maybe even since 2002. So, and many of these countermeasures have been discussed before, and there have been formal models and so on. But still, as you found, surprisingly, everybody gets it wrong. Do you have any software engineering style sort of suggestions for how to kind of get crypto out to these kinds of programmers in a way that they don't get it wrong? Because it's very, very well known in the crypto community that these kinds of errors can occur.
Okay, the you mean the suggestions to the developers who should securely define. Okay, so that's that was the basic problem was that there are two different views on the same message. Mm-hmm. So this should be these views should be combined somehow, and this is the way we use in our countermeasures. So the general problem is that the XML signature libraries were defined like they return only true or false, mm-hmm. where, and this, I mean, this should be changed. So generally the XML signature libraries should be changed so that they should return not only true or false, they should return also what was validated, or they should also allow to the strict filtering, so they could remove the elements that are not signed. But this should be handled on the XML signature library level, and should be need implementation changes.
Yeah. So I was, my question was also, do you think any static analysis on the source code of these would help? Or?
Static analysis, yeah, or penetration test library. So that's the way, what we are now focusing to do. So there is no penetration testing library for this. And our framework WS Attacker already includes some signature wrapping attacks, which could be executed on a SOAP-based frameworks. So you get a signed message, and you automatically generate many assertions, many combinations of these attacks. And like for one SAML message, there are about 1,000 combinations. Yeah, this looks not that, but it is. There are really, really many combinations, and this could be automatically executed. So this is some kind of dynamic analysis. So if this is done, then the developers could use our library and could take a look at this there.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Yuri? Come on. Here's one.
So you say you informed vendors. What was the vendor response?
Yeah, that was... That's every time a complicated question. So there are many vendors which are handling it, the responsible disclosure very good. So like, for example, Salesforce, they contacted us directly afterwards and they worked on the countermeasures. They wanted us to evaluate it. And there are some frameworks which do not have their security response teams, and And then we get no response from them. Okay, so generally, most of the frameworks were corrected. So these are the frameworks. These are the times of the security responsible disclosures, and we do not know. We do not know what's about Apache Access 2, Guangxi, and IBM XS 40. I believe that they fixed it. And one login, I do not know. And these, the other, they claim they did this. Most of them, we reevaluated and we helped them to improve the countermeasures.
Great. That slide answers my second question.
Okay. So I will put it there and you can.
And as somebody in an organization who relies on Shibboleth, I just want to say thanks for doing this.
Okay. So what do you do with all the root accounts that you can get that way if they're not been fixed? What do you do with all the accounts that you can get if they haven't been fixed? I'm just kidding. All right, let's thank Yuri and move on to the next talk.